Well, hey there, Overflow family. If you're new here, my name is Corey. I am one of the pastors at this amazing church based right in Southwest Michigan there in Benton Harbor. Welcome to all you guys joining us online, whether you're there on YouTube, Facebook, or church online, whatever platform you're watching on. First off, thank you for the privilege of your time and attention. But second, I would encourage you to engage. Hop in the chat room there, Church Online, you or YouTube. Let us know who you are. We have hosts there that are ready to chat with you right there on Facebook in the comment section. Man, I would encourage you throughout this message to follow along, jump in, and engage. We've said it before at Overflow that I believe personally preaching is best when it's not a monologue, but rather a dialogue, when we interact and react and respond with what God is teaching us. And though we are not gathered together in person today, much to my chagrin, I cannot wait to regather with you guys, hopefully in the near future, we are still gathered today. We may be socially distant, but we are not spiritually distant. So thank you, Overflow family, for jumping in with us today, for tuning in with us today. And I'm believing and we're believing that as we engage with God's word today, he's going to do something huge in our lives. So again, thanks for tuning in. We're going to jump right into God's word. We're going to start out in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter what? Right? I said engage. So maybe you typed it in the chat room. Maybe you shouted it out there in your living room. Or maybe you just looked at your TV or phone and was like, what is this guy thinking? Don't worry. We're going to jump right in. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read it and then we're going to pray and then we'll see what God has to say to us. Let's read. Starting in verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and he who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life for those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Father, right now, I just lift up everybody watching this. God, myself included, that as we dive into this passage and more of your word, that we would get exactly that, that we would be called blessed, that we would step into peace and pleasantness. And God, anybody that is feeling stressed out or anxious or angry or anxiety today, I pray that you will use this time together to bring about these results: peace, pleasantness, honor, and joy. Thank you, God, that your word is powerful enough to do that and your presence is too. And it's in your name we study it. And everybody that agreed with that prayer loudly said, amen, amen. I heard you all the way from here. What I love about Proverbs is the book of wisdom written by the author King Solomon, often touted as the wisest man that has ever lived. He wrote this down to tell us, to remind us how valuable wisdom really is. And I don't know if you caught some of those words. It says more valuable than silver and gold and precious jewels. And when I read something like that, and I'm like, man, something is more valuable than the most valuable things on this planet. For me, it makes me go, I want that. Like, I desire this. And the results that it says, again, we're talking about in this day and age that we find ourselves in, of a global pandemic, of economic crisis, of all this craziness that's happening. What we're talking about is, what is the antidote to anxiety? What is the antidote, the cure to anger, to all those negative emotions we may be dealing with right now? And right here in Proverbs chapter 13, we see that it says wisdom brings about pleasantness and honor and peace and blessing. Doesn't that sound like the opposite of anger and strife and quarrel and frustration and tension? Pleasantness, peace, blessing. See, it's real simple. I'm going to give you the answer right off the bat today. The antidote to anger, the antidote to frustration, the antidote to those negative emotions we're dealing with is often wisdom. Wisdom. It says sometimes we would think the antidote to anger is kindness, but we find kindness when we deploy wisdom. So then it begs the question, how do we get wisdom? If you've read the book of Proverbs over and over again, it's like, get wisdom, get wisdom, get wisdom. But if you're a smart, astute person, as you read that, you're going to go, how do I get it? How do I achieve wisdom? And what I love about the Bible, let me just start off with this PSA, this public service announcement to all of you watching today. What I love about the Bible is if you read it, it will tell you the next step, and it will tell you the next step. Often people don't know what to do with our lives because we haven't written the Bible that God has given us. I think of it this way. Sometimes we're going, God, I just want to hear from you. God, I just want to hear from you. And God's saying, I wrote it down. If you'll just take the time to read it. And what I love about Proverbs is it says over and over again, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we want the antidote to anger and strife and quarrel in our lives, and we see that wisdom leads to peace and pleasantness and joy and blessing and honor, then the antidote to these negative emotions and these negative feelings is wisdom. But where does wisdom start? The beginning of wisdom, it says, is the fear of the Lord. Now, I know that we're diving like right into scripture today, but I just wanted to like see our lives changed because of this truth, because I had a direct experience with this just this last week. But before I get to it, it says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, some of you, as I read that, maybe you're a Bible scholar out there and you're going, whoa, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. So here it says the beginning of wisdom is fear. And then in the New Testament it says God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, if you know, the Bible was not written in English. Surprise, right? No. Jesus didn't speak English. Jesus was not a white dude. Jesus was a Middle Eastern rabbi that spoke Arabic and a little bit of Greek and Hebrew. The Bible was written Old Testament in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek, and a little bit of Aramaic. And in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 1:7, when it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, another word that can be translated to is timidity. In other words, God has not made us to be scared of anything. We are to be courageous. We are to be bold. And that word fear there again means scared or timid or insecure. In the Old Testament here, when it says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, that Hebrew word can also be translated as respect for the Lord. And the Bible says that God is first and foremost our Father. Now, that's a beautiful image, and I don't know how you were brought up. I don't know if you have a good image in your head when you hear the word father, but I want to tell somebody today that no matter how good or bad your earthly father was, God is a good father. That's why we sing that song, you're a good, good father. He is a good dad, and I was brought up with a good dad. Robert Castle is my dad, and my dad is not a small man, probably like 6'2", about 200 and some odd pounds. He's a relatively big guy compared to me. And I say that to say, growing up, I quickly learned, we say this in the South, and one of my favorite things about doing ministry down in Jamaica and in the Midwest is there's a lot of great people with great manners. Both areas just seem to be places where people really respect manners and other people. And I was raised in the South of the U.S., very similar to that. And one of the things that I remember my mom and dad saying to me, it was an old saying in the South, we used to say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. How many of you have heard that before, right? Like, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. And now, I don't think my dad would have ever actually killed me. I hope not. But early on in my childhood, I learned that he could. I learned that he had the ability to. Let me say it like this. I learned that he was the dad and I was not. He was father, I was son. I quickly learned that I needed to respect my dad and understand my place in the relationship. And when I understood my place in the relationship, father, son, like leader, subordinate, right? Like when I understood my place, all of a sudden there was more peace in my relationship with my father and in my home. And when I would start to get out of line with that and start to buck against my dad, start to fight with my dad, start to speak to my dad as if I was his equal, all of a sudden I would get out of place and that strife and all of that, those issues would happen. The Bible here is saying the beginning of wisdom is understanding your place in correlation to God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of the wisdom is understanding that he's on the eternal universal throne and I am not. He is king of the universe. I am not. He is creator. I am created. He is father. I am son. The beginning of wisdom, another way I like to say it, is proper perspective. proper perspective. See, perspective is the ability to zoom out. Perspective is the ability to see the whole picture. It's like this. If I stepped out of the screen and asked you what you see, I'd be anxious to hear. So let me step out. What do you see? What do you see? And as soon as I asked that, many of you had the same response. You said, I see a black dot, right? I see a black dot. That's what I see. But the interesting thing is that is not all you see. The majority of what you see is a white screen. But as soon as I stepped out of the picture, out of the shot, and revealed the black dot, your eyes could only, the majority of us could only focus on the little black dot, that small blemish, the tiny imperfection. That's exactly what the enemy and our flesh and our emotions do for us in life. They cause us to zoom in on the blemish, on the tiny imperfection, on the little black dot, when in all actuality, what you saw was a white wall. 99.9% of what you were seeing was a white wall, but we focus on the little black dot, and we do the same thing in our lives. We focus on the little blemish. We focus on the little thing that's wrong. And the Bible teaches us that the beginning of wisdom is proper perspective. And perspective means, can we zoom out and see the big picture? There's a great verse in scripture that we'll kind of land our time on together today. It says in Proverbs 26, verse 21, as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for stirring up or kindling up strife. I'm going to read that again. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. I love those words it uses there. What it's saying is there is a natural personality proclivity, one towards confrontation, one that struggles with insecurity, one that gets angered too quickly. And a person like that, that stirs up quarrel, and that can even happen within us. That can be an internal battle that many of us deal with. It's saying a person like that is like throwing gasoline on a fire. It's like charcoal to embers. It's like wood to a fire. It only makes things hotter. That only makes things worse. And I don't know about you, but man, sometimes when I start to get frustrated, I start to get angry, when things don't go my way, when I see that little black dot in my day, man, I start to feel like that. It starts to feel like things get heated up and heated up until I get on fire. I mean, just this last week, I told some of you, if you follow me on social media, I was supposed to go to Nigeria this last week and spend some time with one of our church partners there. Now, I've been planning this trip now for probably about 6 to 8 months, and finally, all the stars kind of aligned. I've been able to get over there, so I was in Kiev, Ukraine, about to fly to Nigeria, and an hour before I was boarding my flight, Turkish Airlines informed me that the visa requirements had changed. They were no longer doing visitor visas once you land in Nigeria, which it said they were before I left Ukraine. And they said the only way I could get into Nigeria now is to go back to the United States, go to the Nigerian embassy, and apply for a visa in person before I leave. In other words, they told me an hour before I was supposed to take off, you're not going to Nigeria. And guys, I about lost it. I know I'm a pastor. I know I love Jesus. But I was so frustrated because this pastor on the other side had already driven to Lagos to pick me up. He was there waiting the night before because he believes in being early. Praise God for people that believe in being early. And man, I was just so angry. I was angry for him. I was angry. And then I was talking to the customer service lady trying to figure out if there's a way I could get this visa. And as I was talking to these two ladies, mid-sentence, one of the ladies was looking at me, and then she just walked away. While I was talking to her, I was literally talking to her behind my mask, behind this glass wall, and she's looking at me, and mid-sentence, she walks away. And guys, I about lost my religion. Like, oh, Jesus, it but for the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. I literally looked at the other woman. I said, did she just walk away from me mid-sentence? And she looked at it, and I go, that was extremely rude. And she was like, and she just shrugged her shoulders. And at that moment, I was at a crossroads. My body, I could feel my temperature rising. I could feel like I was getting so angry. I felt like this was not just. I felt like they weren't helping me. Like, I was just so angry, and I could feel everything boiling up in me. It felt like I was catching on fire. And in that moment, I was reminded of something I thought of a long time ago. And it's what I want to leave us with today. Three steps to controlling our anger. Three steps to subsiding the frustration within us. Three steps to putting out that fire in our souls that causes the quarreling and strife. And three steps to stepping into wisdom in any situation, which leads to pathways of peace. Now, when you find yourself on fire, what does the world tell you to do? I mean, if you were a kid, at least in the U.S., for those of you watching down in Jamaica, or those of you there in the Midwest, when you were a kid in school and they said, hey, if you ever catch on fire, what are you supposed to do? Stop, drop, and roll, right? Stop, drop, and roll. That's what they teach us. So to land our time today, to finish our time together today, whenever we find ourselves catching on fire with frustration and anger, I just want you to remember, stop, drop, and roll. The first one, stop. Stop. Everybody say stop on the count of three. One, two, three, stop, right? The first thing we must do is stop our emotions. We must stop our emotions. Now, as I say that, some of you are like, ha, really easy, Corey. You're like, stop my emotions? What are you talking about here? My point, first and foremost, is maybe we actually need to physically stop ourselves. In premarital counseling, before you get married, and most churches, they'll offer premarital counseling. And my wife and I went through a great premarital counseling, and they taught us this tool called the timeout. And she said, whenever things start to get heated up, whenever you start to catch on fire emotionally, whenever the tensions are rising and you feel yourself about to explode, just stop and say, hey, I need a timeout. I need a timeout. And the counselor, she was great. She was like, when somebody calls a timeout, you have to respect it. You have to stop talking. You have to walk away. And when you call a timeout, what she said was, go do whatever refreshes you. Go for a run. Go breathe for 5 minutes. Go watch Friends or The Office. Do something that calms you down. And later, in a conversation with like a counselor that's renowned across the United States, he told me that science has actually proven that as our body kind of gets that fight or flight, anger, frustration, I'm angry at you, it seems to not be connecting, and our emotions start to boil up and we start to catch on fire. He says your cerebral cortex, your frontal lobe, the chemicals that are firing actually do kind of raise your body temperature. But listen to what he said. He said, on average, once you've hit that like angry phase, once you've hit that rage phase, even if it's not coming out of here, but if it's happening in here, he said it takes on average 3 hours for your brain to come back down to normal. 3 hours. Some of us need to hear that. Like when we start to get worked up, we're like, we got to remember, man, I'm catching on fire. I got to stop my emotions. What am I feeling right now? I'm feeling angry. Oh, I'm feeling angry. Oh, my brain has chemicals firing it that aren't going to help me make good decisions. I need to stop my emotions. Now, when I say emotions, a lot of us maybe not aren't connecting the right things. What emotions aren't bad. Even God has emotions. The Bible says in Scripture that God would get angry, that God would be overjoyed over his people. Emotions are not bad. They're part of what make us human. They're part of what make us in the image of God. But when emotions control us, that's bad. That's when the Bible talks about, are you going to be a slave to sin? Are you going to be a slave to anything other than righteousness? And when our emotions dictate our actions, we become slaves to our emotions. And when I say emotions, I mean it specifically, you know, kind of those things we feel. A way we would say it in society is like what we feel in our hearts. Like I'm angry in my heart. I'm frustrated in my heart. It's like what you feel in your heart. And I love getting advice from people. Like one of my favorite things to do is just to ask people advice. And I have different mentors for different areas of my life. And one thing I would always encourage for somebody that is seeking wisdom is to find mentors, to find people that have gone before you that are living the way you want to live. And you'll never find like one person that has it all together. One of the things I would recommend that I found beneficial in my life is I'll find a different mentor, a different person to learn wisdom from in different areas of life. So I got one guy that he is just a phenomenal businessman. Like he's great. And so I learned business acumen from this guy. but to be honest, I don't want his marriage. I know another couple that the guy, like, their marriage is amazing. Like, they love each other. They're so affectionate. She's so honoring. He's so loving. I want their marriage, but I don't want their career. There's other men that I love the way they parent. Man, their kids are phenomenal. I want to learn parenting from them, but they're extremely out of shape. I don't want to learn health from them. Then there's other people. You understand what I'm saying? So I think we should look for mentors that are the best in each area of our lives and glean it from them. But one time I was asking a family member that I went to for advice what I should do about something, and they said this, something we've all heard before. They said, hey, Corey, you should just follow your heart. You just need to follow your heart. And that sounded so beautiful. That sounded so poetic. That sounded so Hollywood. And then I read scripture and realized that that is straight up stupid. That is insanity, because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The Bible actually says that your heart is deceitful. The Bible doesn't say follow your heart. The Bible actually commands us to guard our hearts, because it knows that emotions can often lead us to making bad decisions. So the first thing we have to do when we feel that fire building up inside of us, if we want to step into wisdom and peace and righteousness, is we have to stop our emotions. The Bible says in James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Anger is not innately sinful. The Bible doesn't say that to be angry is to be in sin. The Bible says we should be slow to anger, and it does say that man's anger does not produce the righteousness of God. And it does say, in your anger, do not sin. And suffice it to say, it's okay. You're gonna get frustrated. I'm not saying don't ever get mad. I'm not saying people are gonna do things that they shouldn't do that hurt your feelings. What I am saying is, what do we do with that anger? Do we ever stop and ask the question, okay, I feel this. Now I need to stop that feeling from going too far. When we find ourselves catching on fire, the first thing we gotta do is stop. Everybody say stop. 1, 2, 3, stop, right? Type it in the chat room. The second thing we do, we gotta stop our emotions. Then we gotta drop. Everybody say drop on the count of three. 1, 2, 3, drop, right? We gotta stop our emotions and we gotta drop our assumptions. Drop our assumptions, right? Because what happens when we're in frustrated with somebody, when we're in conflict, in tension with somebody, like even with me in that ticketing situation, trying to get that visa to Nigeria and figure it all out, like I started to assume, man, you don't care about me. I started to assume, man, you don't value me as a customer. Man, I started to assume, man, you just want your paycheck, man. Like, what do we do in arguments? We start thinking about what the other person is thinking. We start to make assumptions about their motives. Let me tell you, nothing will lead to the fire of a quarrel more in our lives than if we don't stop our emotions and if we don't drop our assumptions about the other person. Let me just say it like this. You and I, we're not mind readers. We don't know what the other person is thinking. And so, in other words, to get more angry about what you think someone is thinking is to allow your entire reality to be dictated by a hypothetical situation. And to get angry about a hypothetical situation that's not even real is probably the definition of insanity. Like that just is gonna lead to so much negativity in our lives. One of the things that's helped me so much in life in maintaining control and stepping into wisdom and grasping those pathways peace and purity and righteousness is to just stop assuming things about the other person. We have to stop our emotions and we have to drop our assumptions about people, about the situation. A lot of us, stuff happens too in our lives. Bad things happen and we assume, God, you're angry. We assume, God, you don't care. When in all actuality, the reality may be because he cares, he's allowing you to go through this trial. Because Romans chapter 5 teaches trials produce perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And he knows you're going to need perseverance and character and hope to pour into that person that you're going to meet later in life that's going to need that in you. Like, we assume so many things about God. We assume so many things about other people. But we don't know what we don't know. Another mentor of mine told me, you can only control what you can control. So to get frustrated or angry about things you can't control is pretty dumb. you can only control what you can control. You're not thinking for them. You don't know what they're thinking. We have to stop our emotions, drop our assumptions. And finally, when we feel that quarrel, when we feel that fire, that anger rising up inside of us, that frustration, which it's okay, we all do, we gotta stop our emotions. We gotta drop our assumptions. We gotta stop, drop, and roll. Everybody say roll on the count of three. One, two, three. Roll, right? When you're on fire, you got to stop, drop, and roll. When you're emotionally on fire, you got to stop your emotions. You got to drop your assumptions. And then finally, I wrote, you got to roll up your expectations. You got to roll back your expectations. And when we assume about other people, we are saying, I assume I know what you're thinking. But often in life, a lot of quarrels, a lot of frustration, a lot of anger can come from unmet expectations. But unmet expectations are usually so because we don't communicate our expectations to other people. Often I get frustrated with people because I expect them to say a certain thing or I expect them to act a certain way, but I have never communicated to them what my expectations are. In other words, we got to drop our assumptions. Our assumptions are what we think they're thinking, and we've got to roll back and roll up our expectations. We're not mind readers, and neither are they. Your husband is not a mind reader. Your wife is not a mind reader. That ticketing customer service agent at Turkish Airlines was not a mind reader. They don't know what was going on in my life, and I expect them to empathize, and I expect them to take care of me, and I expect that they know I'm frustrated from work, and I expect that my husband would know, or my wife would know that this, and I expect that. Here's the deal, guys. If we don't want to catch on fire, if we don't want to catch our marriages on fire, our workplaces on fire, if we don't want to get caught up in the flames of quarrel, if we want to step into those pathways of peace and wisdom, we got to stop, drop, and roll. We got to stop our emotions, drop our assumptions, and roll up our expectations. And I truly believe that when we do that, we will see God move in even greater ways, even through those tough, frustrating circumstances. The Bible says one of the marks of a Christ follower, one of the marks of love, is that we are to be reasonable people, open to reason. We don't let ourselves get too fired up where we shut people down or hurt people. We don't let ourselves get too low where we close people off. We are open to reason and talk to people. And the only way we can be open to reason is by staying calm and cool. That doesn't mean we can't get passionate. That doesn't mean we can't be loud. Like that's different. But what I am talking about is allowing anger or negative emotion to control us. Like even in that situation in Kiev, I sat there and I was so angry and I had to stop. I stopped myself. I literally went like this. Can I have one moment? And I just turned and went, I just took a breath and I said, hey, I'm sorry. I'm just a little frustrated at this situation. I was supposed to go to Nigeria. I have someone there waiting on me. It's sounding like I can't. What are my options? I spent the next 30 minutes talking about how many flights on what days were coming back, trying to get reimbursement and not pay extra fees for the change and all this stuff. And after 45 minutes, I ended up getting rerouted through Istanbul back to the United States. But the earliest flight they could put me on was Wednesday, and it was Monday. So that meant I had 2 nights in Istanbul. Well, as many of you know, if you follow me on social media, I was bringing Bibles to Nigeria that he requested to give to the Muslims there in Nigeria. Well, I had a bag full of Bibles sitting in Istanbul, and I Googled, as I heard the Muslim chants from the temples, I Googled, what's the Christian population in Istanbul, in Turkey? And it said it used to be at its height about 30% of the population, but has now dropped to 1% to 3% of the entire population of Turkey says they're Christian. And in Istanbul, it said probably 99% were Muslim or non-believers. So I decided I wanted to pursue the pathway of peace. God has me here for a reason. I have a bag of Bibles. These people don't have Bibles. And so I spent my entire day in Istanbul with a backpack full of Bibles, walking around asking God, who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to give a Bible to? And time after time, I met person after person who had never held a Bible, seen a Bible, and were grateful for the gift of God's Word. It's amazing what will happen in our lives if when we feel that anger, if when we feel that fire starting to stir up, if instead of being controlled by our emotions, we will remember that wisdom is precious, wisdom is valuable, and wisdom leads to peace and joy. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is perspective. And for me to get perspective, I have to be able to zoom out. And when the enemy in the world is making me zoom in and get tunnel vision and get angry and frustrated and feel like I'm on fire, I just need to stop, drop, and roll. Stop my emotions, drop my assumptions, roll up my expectations, and move forward into the path God has for me. Guys, that's my prayer for you this week. No matter what curveballs you're dealing with, even at our churches with the curveball not being able to meet in person, I pray that we would be able to lean in, that we would be able to press in, that we would stop, drop, and roll when we start to feel ourselves get frustrated and angry, and we would watch God work in wisdom in our lives. Father, right now I pray over all those watching that you would allow us to do that this week. God, that you'd allow me to do that this week. That you would give us the supernatural ability to stop, drop, and roll. God, that you would allow us to be people of peace and wisdom. And God, over anybody that's feeling frustration or anger for any situation today, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just invade them with your presence. Remind them of the proper eternal perspective that if they love and trust in you, everything's gonna be okay. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.